Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
Hey, greetings, everybody. Welcome to episode 74 of The Stare Down. It's our sports talk and real estate show. We're on early today in preparation for Hurricane Irma to pass through Bill Risser's hometown of St. Petersburg, Florida. So let's start with you. Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I guess it was a weird bucket list out of my mind to maybe experience a hurricane. I didn't really want to do it like this. It felt better on some deserted island, but so we're in watch mode. We'll overnight tonight. So we record on Sundays. And so on Monday night, we're supposed to get our pounding with 100 mile an hour winds. And that'll last, you know, over a few hours. And then, you know, obviously it ramps up and it kind of ramps down, like kind of a bell curve of wind coming our way. And so we're ready. We're in a great place. We've got tons of water, tons of food. We've got a lot of neighbors that are staying in the building. So we've all connected and shared phone numbers. And we're going to check on each other. And so that's what we got going here.
Good. Well, little did we know when we had Ryan Bocross on last week that we'd have two hurricane episodes back to back. So right. Todd and I are thinking of you and Cindy, and hope everything will come out the way it needs to maybe have that eye move a little bit further west or east and avoid some of the big storms. So Todd, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Sean. Well known. I'm lived a majority of my life in Florida. I have a ton of friends, family, new friends, old friends, five brothers and sisters in Florida riding out the storm. So obviously it's on all our minds. Everyone be safe as possible. The good news is I think everyone is as prepared as humanly possible, unless they don't have a television or a newspaper. This time next week, it'll be gone, and hopefully we'll be rebuilding and getting back to normal. So looking forward to this thing being over, as I'm sure Bill can attest to that.
That's funny. I was, Rhonda was looking through some stuff on Instagram, and it said they name hurricanes after people. And they should name it like Megatron Death Bus 3000, and no one would mess with it.
They'd know that Irma sounds too nice, like your old Aunt Irma. Yeah,
because you know people name their kids after these now. It's the cliche thing to do when they give birth. So yeah. we're all praying for you guys. Let's talk some sports because we got a lot of stuff to maybe occupy you, Bill.
Yep.
For next 20 hours or so. Why don't we start with U.S. Open? Kind of a nice story in the women's side. Bill, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about our new champion who kind of, I won't say came out of nowhere because people like you have heard of her, but when she was 465th, before the tournament started and she finished 17th in the world with that victory, why don't you talk about Sloane Stephens?
Yeah, so once again, I defer back to Cindy. Sloane's been on Cindy's radar since Sloane was 16 years old. I mean, she's been an up-and-coming young American player. She was injured, as well as Madison Keys. You know, they both had injuries this year. Both even, you know, neither were at the Australian Open. So they're both coming off of injuries. Both had a lot of promise. They were going to be the next new American, you know, women. And it all came together, pun intended, perfect storm at the U.S. Open with four American women, one of the old guard and three of the up-and-comers. So it's a lot of fun. I was actually kind of pulling for Madison Keys. I followed her more closely, but Sloane, really just an amazing defensive player. Todd, you probably saw she just gets everything back. In the first set, she had two or three unforced errors compared to Madison Keys, 20 something unforced errors. And the writing's on the wall there. The other side of this match, they're both super good friends. And I think the congratulations at the net was one of the most touching, moving moments I've ever seen in tennis. That was amazing because you've got Madison Keys, obviously very emotional. Sloane just comforting her. It was just really cool. So great for U.S. tennis. Even though I think we all of us are older and we were hoping for one last hurrah from Venus, this has really been fun to watch for the women.
That was quite a semifinals match. You guys want to talk about that? Because you guys were really going back and forth on the action between Venus and Sloane Stephens.
Yeah, three-setter, right, Todd? That was great. I'll let you talk about that.
Really great. Going back to what you said, Bill, it seemed genuine. genuine, right? The handshake, the comforting. And we see a lot of that in the PGA Tour with, you know, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. And, you know, they're obviously trying to step on each other's throat, but there seems to be genuine, I don't know if compassion's a word, but maybe empathy, I don't know. So that was fun to watch. Bill, I was surprised, and you can expound on this. Sloane Stephens beat one of her heroes, right? It's got to be hard to face a hero, a legend in the sport.
Yep.
And she since met that legend and still holds her in such high regard. I mean, I read an expression, you know, if you ever want to be disappointed, meet your hero, right? You build them so big in your mind, and how can they possibly live up to that? Right. So to have a three-setter in that, they were going back and forth, amazing tennis, to beat a legend. And then I thought she was going to come out flat against Madison Keys, just a little letdown. And boy, was I wrong. You know, 6-3, 6-0. There's no doubt who this year's U.S. Women's Tennis Champion is.
Yep. And then we got today, 4:00, right? We've got, I don't know, you call Anderson kind of an unknown a little bit, Kevin Anderson? Yeah, I mean, from South Africa, he came out of that bottom draw we talked about, where whoever won that bottom draw after you had Murray drop and the Joker wasn't there and all that stuff. So once that, we knew that somebody who had never won a major was going to be there, but I didn't think it was going to be him. And then on the top, you know, Del Potro had a great match against Federer. But then had nothing left in the tank, and Nadal just took care of him in four sets pretty easily. So, I mean, I think Nadal's a heavy favorite going into this afternoon's match, but it's tennis. You never know. And Nadal, this would be major number 16.
Ooh.
16. I mean, Roger has 19. So, and he's younger. He's only 32. It's not outside of the realm of possibility he catches.
How many did Pete Sampras have?
15.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez. He's in third place now.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Like,
they're almost in third place. Yeah,
so good, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, who did Del Potro? I'm just drawing a blank. Maybe it's because I was at the beach all day. Who did he beat when he was kind of sick and no one gave him any credit right before Federer? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't.
You're drawing a blank as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, "This is it. This is the most incredible." He came back, and again, I think a lot of people thought he'd lay an egg against Federer, and he ended up beating him. And the thing about Federer
Was it the kid from Canada, Denis Shapovalov?
It might be. I'm not familiar with him, so maybe that's why it's not coming to my attention. But Federer afterwards said, you know, this match, you know, I didn't have it all going and I was struggling. And that's evidence of rounds one and two when he had, you know, five sets each.
Yeah.
And for him to make the quarters without his good stuff, again, shows how great he is. He won two majors this year, and you know, people are saying maybe it's time for him to retire because he didn't make the semis of the U.S. Open. But I agree with you. I didn't know. I'm not familiar with Nadal's opponent, so I would say he's definitely kind of a. You got to be a tennis geek to really know who he is.
Yeah, 28th in the world for the men. So
yeah, I kind of saw his name before, but you know, I may not have been able to pick him out of a lineup if I'm being honest. So.
Yeah.
So would you guys say he maybe wins a set, or he probably is this a straight set victory for Nadal?
It's kind of like, you know, Bama. How do you until they lose, how do you pick against them? I'd say he's gonna give Nadal everything he can handle. So if I had to guess, I say Nadal wins 3-1. I wouldn't be surprised with a clean sweep, but I think he's gonna come and he's gonna be hungry. He's gonna do the best he can to win a major.
Yeah. And I think the crowd will obviously be Nadal just because he's the known factor, but they'll be respectful and they'll cheer for the Anderson kid. So, all right, guys, let's turn our attention to baseball. Two stories I want to hit on before we really get to the meat of the episode with football. How about the Cleveland Indians? 17 wins in a row right now.
That cost someone a little bit of money, right, Sean?
Yeah,
story again.
So there's a furniture store celebrating their 15th anniversary up in Cleveland. And I told you guys about this, you know, 5 or 6 episodes ago because they reeled off 11 in a row at that point in time. So if you bought services, either windows, doors, you know, roofing, gutters, things like that, if you bought stuff in the month of July, if the tribe did a winning streak in July or August or September, anytime the rest of the season of at least 15 games to match up with their 15-year anniversary, your invoice was free. They took out a $75,000 insurance policy, and they're going to owe $1.7 million worth of
the insurance company is
insurance company. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's actually the owners of the company
had everyone that they could get in touch with out to a big party on the 14th, you know, when they were going for number 15. So they were celebrating. It was great news for them. It was obviously a ton of national press, but the Tribe really playing some good baseball right now. And, you know, they're not beating. They swept the Red Sox. They swept the Yankees. They swept the Royals, and they swept the Tigers. And they're going for a sweep against the Orioles right now. So we're not talking bottom of the barrel teams that they're beating. They're beating some really good teams.
Yeah.
On the other side of the spectrum, how about the Dodgers? Currently on a 9-game losing streak. Now they still have a 10-game lead because
and that's what the D-backs winning. The D-backs won 12 in a row.
Yep.
While they were losing all this game, and they went from 20 back to 10 back, I guess.
Yeah. But the Dodgers record, which was unstoppable, is now looking like it's not going to probably happen as far as the 112 or what is that? What it is?
116 Mariners.
116.
Yeah.
But the a little panic in Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you want to they've got time to right the ship. You want to go into the playoffs playing well. It's sure. only we're recording this on September 10th, so it takes them a little bit of time. They'll be fine, just kind of ramping back up. Clayton Kershaw's back now, so he'll get healthy. Yu Darvish had a rough outing, just one though, but he's pitched pretty well for them. So I think they'll be fine. But yeah, the offense has got to start hitting, and the pitchers have got to start pitching in the next couple weeks. So,
well, we're about 3 weeks away from kind of that sweet spot for us, Bill, as sports fans. We're going to have the golf playoffs, either the Tour Championship and then the President's Cup. We've got baseball finishing up, and we've got football in full swing here in a couple weeks. So,
yeah,
should be fun. So, all right. So, where do you want to start with college football?
Let's start with the game up in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Ohio State, Oklahoma game, kind of lived up to the billing. The first half was kind of, slogging through the mud, so to speak. It was a 3-3 tie at halftime. I saw a stat on Twitter. It was the lowest scoring total point output in the first half in any Urban Meyer game ever. They were obviously losing to Clemson last year because they didn't score against Clemson, but it was only, I think, 7-0 at halftime there. Boy, Baker Mayfield is the real deal, isn't he? I mean, he played lights out. He had grit. A lot of people say he was cocky, but he backed it up. He played well. He ran when he needed to run. He made good checkdowns, and he really just lit up that Ohio State secondary.
He had something to prove.
He did. I mean, you know, coming off the loss last year, he felt that he – and, you know, you saw at the end of the game, or maybe you didn't see at the end of the game, but it's making all the rounds. He took the Oklahoma flag and ran to the center of the field and, you know, mockingly stuck it in the ground, you know, which is not going over well here in Columbus. But the true sports fans are saying, hey, look, if the Buckeye defense would have played a little tougher, he wouldn't have been able to do that. So what do you guys think of that game?
Todd?
Yeah, Sean. I watched that game a lot just on my phone. Jenny graduated Georgia Pharmacy School, so I had my eye mainly on the Georgia-Notre Dame game, which I'm sure we'll talk about after. But I think trouble's been brewing a little with this team ever since starting, I guess, last year in the playoffs. They struggled with Indiana mightily in the first half and then did what they were supposed to. I'm in a little pick'em pool, and I picked Oklahoma to win this week. Not so much as I knew exactly where Oklahoma was, especially with their new, you know, really young coach. But I just kind of saw the writing on the wall with this team. And, I mean, Urban Meyer gets a pass for his body of work. But, you know, I think this is three games in a row that this team's in trouble. And I'm sure you're reading about it a lot more up there than maybe I am down here, Sean.
Yeah, you know, people are not happy with JT Barrett. They feel like he is just not the leader he was a couple years ago. And, you know, his game does look a little different. You know, they're trying to say his receivers aren't really helping him out. But he, you know, it's a mixture between JT Barrett and, you know, they brought in the new offensive coordinator, Kevin Smith, who was coach at Indiana, who was also the offensive coordinator under Bob Stoops back at Oklahoma. And they thought, boy, wait till you see this offense he's going to bring in. And you're seeing all the same, right? Remember the Michigan game that they lost 2 years ago where they didn't give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott enough? J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber both busted off some big runs yesterday, and then they were non-existent the rest of the game. The fans are really just saying, like, where is the offense that we thought we were going to get, and what the hell's up with the secondary now? Now they go through a dearth of nobodies for the next 5 weeks, I think. Army, UNLV, then they hit, like, I think Rutgers and Maryland. So really they have really nobody until they face Penn State, and that game will be in Columbus. And then obviously they finish the year at Michigan this year. So, you know, it, much like our game, Todd, you know, they wake up today, they're disappointed, but as the old saying goes, they still control their own destiny. They went out, they beat Penn State, they beat Michigan, who will be top five at the time. They could be right back in the playoffs, but they've got to figure out what's going on in offense.
Absolutely, and how they're going to spin it, and which is absolutely 100% true. Maybe this is the best thing that happened to them, right? You get punched in the mouth, and it's gut check time. And there's some great teams that recover, and there's some great teams that just, you know, have a so-so year. I mean, even with this loss, I can't see them losing more than maybe one more game. But is that enough to get them in the coveted playoffs? Right.
Remember, 3 years ago, they lost kind of a dud game to Virginia Tech, and then ran the table, beat Alabama. Beat Oregon and hoisted the first CFP trophy. Bill, what other games caught your eye, or anything else? Anything else on Ohio State, Oklahoma?
No, I wanted to talk about Auburn and help me out, Clemson. Yeah, Clemson. That was a lot of fun. That's the game that I watched the most of, and was so they lost Deshaun Watson, but the defense, unbelievable, right?
Oh my God, 11 sacks.
Oh,
11 sacks, and boy, did they! I mean. Really, I think where the game, you can't really say it was lost at this point in time, but Auburn has a 15-play first series where they just kind of work the ball down methodically. They go for it on fourth down, they get it, then they get stopped inside the goal line, end up kicking a field goal. But you know what? 15 plays, they took up 7.5 minutes, and then the next series, I think two series later, they force a fumble, right? Mm-hmm. And they get stoned again and have to kick a field goal. And then their offense just couldn't do anything the rest of the game.
Yeah. That was fun to watch. And I, like I said, totally unexpected on my end. I'm, you know, kind of a novice when it comes to college football, but I wasn't, you know, you hear about other teams' defenses a lot more than Clemson, right? Is that, am I kind of on
Well, I think there? last year's team was solid, and there's a lot of people are saying, you know, people that are in the know saying this defense is better. So if the offense can somewhat replicate what they did last year. 11 sacks. I mean, Auburn's got to figure that out. This Jarrett Stidham was supposed to be, you know, the player of the year in the SEC, and was not a very good performance, you know.
Yeah, because if you're trying to, you know, project down the line with the Auburn-Alabama game, which is going to mean a whole bunch, right, in the SEC, they got to play a lot better than they played yesterday.
Hey, Sean, don't you remember Clemson either last year or the year before, a lot of 45, 42 games versus mediocre opponents? So I think Bill may be onto something that although they've always considered a good defense, this one may be a great one.
Yeah, I remember the game they lost last year was to Pitt. And, you know, that was like one of those 48, 46 games. So, you know, look out. And if they can, you know, maybe they get a break with Francois going down for the Seminoles last week. Who knows, but big win for Clemson. Todd, let's talk about that Notre Dame game. A lot of Georgia fans made the trip. In fact, they made a point of talking about it a lot on the game on NBC, how many Georgia fans were there. Kind of a neat weekend because a lot of them now are going over to Chicago for the Falcons-Bears game. But what did you and Jenny think about that game? A good performance as we expected from the Bulldogs, a serviceable job at quarterback by Fromm, made a lot of mistakes, didn't look off a lot of receivers, threw a horrible interception. And I think at the end of the game, if you watch the interview with Kirby at the very end of the game, as happy as he was to win, he was disappointed in the lack of discipline by his team.
I heard 35-40% of the stadium was wearing red and black, which is crazy when you think about it, right? Usually, you know, we've been in many a Florida game, and usually in the corner, there's, you know, a section of the opposition. I heard tickets, the average ticket price was $1,000 to that game. So, I mean, God, people were people were spending money. I guess they consider it maybe a once in a lifetime trip to, you know, one of the cathedrals of college football, whether you like them or not. It is what it is. So I thought Georgia stayed very composed. I thought their kicker, even though he missed that one, I think it was a 49 yarder. He was given scholarship on Friday, believe it or not. And, it is both extra points and two field goals. That's a good story if you want to do a little research on that. But the freshman, you said, you know, get a so-so or a good enough performance. I mean, imagine being, I believe he's a true freshman. I don't think he's a redshirt. He's a true freshman. Imagine being 18 years old, first college start at night in South Bend, Indiana. So for him to do a quote-unquote serviceable job, which I tend to agree with you with that adjective you're using, but you have to consider who he is and the situation. I did not know this, but he is from Warner Robins, Georgia. And he was actually in the Little League World Series when they won it all. And he was a pitcher. So they had a couple flashbacks on that. And that was pretty interesting. But I thought overall the Georgia's defense is stout. I thought they played very solid. They did have some drives that were quick and gave up a lot. But all in all, it looks like them and South Carolina and maybe Tennessee are going to be fighting for it. Hopefully Florida gets their act together and can get in that mix. But fun game to watch, obviously. Fun to watch it with a UGA pharmacy grad. So yeah, right. It was a good time for sure.
And,
yeah.
You know, let's talk about Florida's game being canceled. I think that really hurts them, you know, not having a chance to to shake off the rust from the Michigan game, not having a chance to show the fans and you know, just even just get, you know, there, you just can't simulate in practice. And I don't know how much practice they're going to have with if coach sent them home to be with their families or what's going on. But that's going to be a tough, you know, task for them to now face Tennessee coming in, you know, pretty confident off two wins in that game. Bill, what did you think of – did you get a chance to watch any of the USC-Stanford game?
No, I didn't. Just saw the final result and the fact that it looks like that SC tailback legacy's back, right?
Oh, man.
Boy, what a running game. And if that works out, then that's only going to help, you know.
Well, think how much that opens up for Darnold.
Oh, my gosh. It just makes it simple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's – you think back to the great teams. I always go back to the Chargers. When you had LT run the way he ran, you had Antonio Gates as well. You can't stop both. You got to pick one or the other. What's your poison? And it looks like if SC's going to have that sort of a offense, wow, look out, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they only punted once, and that was late in the game. Darnold's touch passes to their receivers were just fantastic. If USC could have done any type of kick coverage on Stanford, because I think Stanford's average starting position was like the 50-yard line.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so there is a weak link there, special teams, right?
Yeah. And hey, Todd, did you happen to catch any of the Penn State-Pitt game?
Hey, Sean, I actually did. Real quick, a buddy of mine, he's an empty nester and bought a house on Lake Lanier and had a housewarming party. And we were outside on the lake watching the game, which is a ton of fun. But watched a lot of that game, and I think it pretty much, you know, went to form. I think Penn State's got a real solid football team. I think Pitt is kind of on the upswing, but still has a lot, long way to go. I'll throw this back to you. Were you a little surprised, or did you see some of the comments that Coach Franklin made after the game?
Ooh,
I did. I felt that was a shot from the bow, wasn't it? So the statement was, you know, does this seem like a big win? And he said, look, when Pitt beat us last year, it was like their Super Bowl. Us beating them is like us beating Kent State. You know, so it was he really was downplaying it, looking forward. The way it came out maybe was a little more of a punch in the face to the little brother. But unfortunately, it's just not one of those rivalries that's guaranteed to be played every year like a Florida State. It's kind of a hit and miss. But I thought it was an interesting choice of words.
That's kind of a tough blow on the team that did beat Clemson last year. I mean, they're the team that beat the national champ. So.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's just as unnecessary, right? It's like,
yeah, a little bit.
Game. What, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And he's supposed to be one of the classier guys. I was surprised. There must be – maybe there's some undocumented history with the two coaches. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, one more thing, guys, before we jump into the NFL. I want to just – did you guys happen to watch the early game? I know, Bill, you were busy with some of the Irma preps you had coming. And Todd, you said at a lake party. Louisville, North Carolina. Lamar Jackson
The defending Heisman Trophy winner, three touchdown passes, three running touchdowns, over 500 yards of offense that he accounted for. This kid's good. This kid is really, really good. And he's just, I think, kind of getting forgotten when you think about Saquon Barkley and Darnold and Mayfield. But this kid's not going anywhere. I mean, he is a stud.
Do they have a tough game coming up this week?
You know, they play Clemson.
Yeah, there you go. That defense. So there you go, right?
Oh,
yeah.
that little game, Bill?
Yeah.
remember, he, you know, you might want to say that was a game that he took a step above Deshaun, even though Clemson won the game last year. His numbers were off the charts. So that's a 330 game in Louisville. I think it's safe to say Louisville. Wow. Really excited about that one. That's probably going to be the game day location for next week, because that's a 3 versus 17, but 17 will move up. Clemson will probably move to number 2 with the loss by Ohio State. And unless – well, do you think – yeah, I think Clemson will move up and Oklahoma will move to number 3.
Yeah.
Sean, you don't have a spread on that, do you?
I don't – no, it just – I'm just – I just pulled up the ESPN games for next week. And obviously the other big one next week, the Miami-Florida State game, has been pushed back into October, anticipating that there's going to be too much damage in Tallahassee. And the Miami program is going to need to do some rebuilding with their families and things like that. So that's a big game next week. And then obviously the Tennessee-Florida game next week. And that's really kind of all the top 20 matchups that we'll see next week. All right, guys, let's turn to the NFL. Bill, you want to recap Thursday's game? Kind of a surprise, but I know there's one of our friends, good friends, who's he'll still talk, but Chalmers. Probably not going to be happy about the Kansas City victory.
Yeah, you could whip out the old scoreboard thing on Chalmers, but then he whips up five fingers, you know, and you just can't do anything about that with Brady's five rings. But, you know, it was an interesting game. First of all, Alex Smith is trying to shed that label of just a manager? I mean, he really played well. And who would have thought Kareem Hunt would have the game he had? I mean, an unbelievable performance, 50-plus points in fantasy if you're into that stuff. Like I am. I fortunately wasn't playing against him. But it was still a one-point game with like 5 minutes to go. There was still that thought, oh, Brady will take care of this. Brady will take care of this. And he didn't take care of it. So let the over 40-year-old quarterback controversy start, right? He had a bad game. Just like Federer, right? Right, Todd? So
yeah. Okay. He should retire.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, the Patriots honks are quick to tell you that the last two Super Bowls they won, they lost their first game of the season, or two of their last five. So we'll see. I shared the stat last week that Urban Meyer has lost two bowl games in his history, and he's come back to win the national championship in both those years. So he's got work to do.
And Belichick's upset, and that's not good for the Patriots team. They're going to have to do some work this week. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
But boy, what a game by Alex Smith, huh?
Yeah, unbelievable.
A quarterback, I think that – I don't know if you can find a quarterback in the NFL that gets less respect from the NFL family,
right?
As far as what this guy's done. But, boy, Andy Reid just proven he's a hell of a coach.
Yep, you're right.
Todd, what were you going
to say? As we're speaking, we're live. Cleveland is quickly down 7-0. Thanks to a blocked punt by Pittsburgh.
Wow. Oh, no.
The way to start the season, right, Browns fan?
Yeah, 109. So is that the first score of the
– it might be, yeah. I just flicked on red zone. Actually, Oakland's up 7-0. Got some quick scoring going. So.
All right.
Well, you know, when Deshaun Kizer gets into that 3rd and 23, not as bad as the Louisiana Tech 3rd and goal – from their own 7-yard line. So what games are you watching this week? Bill, your new hometown team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously not canceled. What are they rescheduling it to later in the year?
Both teams had a week 11 bye. So now guess who doesn't have a bye during the season? Their bye is this week.
Ooh, that hurts.
That hurts a little.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's too bad, but unfortunately there's just nothing they can do about it. I mean,
No.
It worked out good, and obviously there's a reason why they did it. So what other games are kind of on your radars today, guys?
I got Falcons Bears right now. See how the Falcons recover from their Super Bowl hangover.
going back, we were talking about the Gators not playing this week. Forget about knocking the rust off. Like, when you have a bad hole in golf, don't you just want to get to the next tee box just to forget about it? The Gators have another week to think about the poor performance against Michigan. I'm sure the Falcons are ready to start this season and see if they can get back to the Super Bowl. I also like the Seahawks at the Packers at 425. I think that's going to be a good one, and looking forward to that, Sean.
Me, it's Giants Cowboys. That's just it's always a great game. Yeah. So with Zeke playing and Prescott there, is there a sophomore jinx? Does Eli still have the Giants number? It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, can the Dallas defense do anything slow down? You know, and I'll tell you, my favorite guys to listen to, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. They were in midseason form with their game on Thursday night. They'll be calling that game again this week. So it should be fun. Then we got two Monday night games. One that Bill won't pay attention to, the LAC, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the New Orleans plays Minnesota in the early game. So two dome teams. Good. We'll see how Drew Brees does. So it will be interesting. We'll kind of wrap the show with that, guys. So NFL kicking.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
I'm sorry, real quick. Don't Mike and Mike usually do one of the games, the doubleheaders on Monday night? And I doubt they will be doing that this year since they are no longer getting along. Do you guys remember the same thing? They do like the 10 o'clock game usually? Or?
They might have done it one time. I'm not sure it was a regular thing, but I know they've done it in the past.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know they weren't getting along. Did they have a tiff or something?
Oh, they're breaking up this November. They're done.
Man, you missed it, Sean.
Yeah.
Basically, little Mike decided he'd had enough and wanted to kind of spread his wings and do something else. And Big Mike, and Bill, you can chime in, but Big Mike is like, we got a great thing going. Why are we doing this? And the media kept asking Big Mike, and he kept saying, this is not my story to tell.
Greeny went off on his own. Remember, he was doing that weird stuff. He always wanted to do something else, writing his book, trying to get a TV show. Yep. He's doing his own gig in the mornings on ESPN. They're still going to be at the same place. But if you listen to their show tomorrow, they get along great on air. But I think they just, as soon as the show's over, they go different ways. So
interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Greeny's doing Battle of the Network Stars, if you see that on ABC.
Yes.
And he wants a game show so bad.
That should be called Battle of the Who Are These People?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Hey, let's look at our week ahead, and then let's let Bill start hunkering down, because he had a chance to hunker down his whole life, and he finally gets a chance to hunker down.
Awesome.
Todd, what do you got coming up this week? You're back from your fishing trip with your clients. How'd that go, by the way?
Oh, man, it was awesome. We went in the Apalachicola Bay and did a little bay fishing. We didn't go offshore, deep sea. But we did a four-hour trek and caught 31 trout, speckled trout, and Spanish mackerel. So it was just a big old time, and had the guys fillet it for us and had some good eating. So it was awesome. Nice. This week, Forsyth County schools are canceled on Monday because we will get some tropical storm effects. I guess they want everyone off the road. Hopefully it doesn't go much longer than that. If it does, that means there's some big damage. So with that said, when you're at home with the kids, it's got to focus on just closing some jobs and getting some office work done. So that's my main thrust early on, Sean.
Good, good. Bill, fun episode with our buddy Sam DeBoard. I enjoyed your conversation. I'm going to guess you're maybe going off the Coble Banker family reservation this next week.
I think I should. I think I have to. I think people will start thinking I'm on the payroll. I'm going with a Baird Warner agent out of Illinois. That'd be Leslie Ebersole my guest. And wow, it was really fun to talk to her. She's a really smart lady. Has a great take on things. Not afraid to rock the boat. Would you say that's a fair?
That's very fair. Yeah.
And so we had a lot of fun in that conversation. So she'll be the guest. And I'll tell you what we're doing this week is we've got branches that were in flood zones. So this week is going to be spent doing a whole lot of trying to figure out where to put people because we got to keep, doing work. So it's going to be a busy, busy probably wearing a lot of blue jeans kind of a week.
Yeah, so a lot of helping out behind the scenes, but also probably a lot of just making sure that on the front lines, your people are taking care of their customers, both the real estate and the front end user buyers and sellers who,
yep,
you know, once the storm passes, so to speak, they're going to need to get back to business and, yep, and life goes on, right?
So yeah, we, you know, just to give you a look inside our world, we had some people put in flood zones on Thursday. They were declared a evacuation zone, so we couldn't open for business Friday. So we spent all day Thursday night, Friday morning moving people into other branches that could accommodate them. And we got that done in time where they could actually do work on Friday. Still, wow, about two when we closed, but we got everything ready. And so we just got to, you know, we're going to go back in there on Tuesday morning and hopefully the damage is minimal. So.
What a strange scenario to be, you know, trying to rush to get your closing done Friday so that you could get your real estate transaction done. Cause who knows, but you're buying a house that you may not, it may not be there when you,
when, absolutely, you come back, right? I don't know. Yeah. Just to, let me, we'll talk real estate first. It is a stare down. Do you know there's a thing called the hurricane box? Have you heard the hurricane box before?
No.
You can Google that term and it shows you the actual coordinates of this. It's a shaded area. And if a named storm enters the hurricane box, right? Enters the box. It's out over the, in the Bahamas and in the, mm-hmm, Gulf. No insurance company will underwrite or issue a policy for a home transaction. You're done, right? Because if you got a loan, you got to have insurance.
Wow.
So if it's cash deal and you don't want to have insurance, you can do that. But who would do that with a hurricane in the box? I never heard that term before living in San Diego.
Wow. Phoenix.
And so you have to look that up. And so that puts a damper on our business for sure.
Especially when you have a domino of closings, right?
Absolutely. Can you imagine what's
happening? The first seller is being a buyer on the next house, who's being a buyer on the next house. Yeah.
And fortunately, most people are so focused on their safety and their well-being. You know, hey, buying a house is a big deal, but it ain't that big a deal, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure everybody gets through this and then we'll put the pieces back together. So.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it sounds like you have a busy week and we'll hopefully it's there's some smiles and some sunshine, in the near future for you guys down there in the Sunshine State. Guys, for me, I hit the road tomorrow. I fly up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, going to catch a Brewers game tomorrow night with some Cold Banker friends from up there. But then I speak at the Wisconsin Realtor Association convention on Tuesday. I drive that night to Iowa to speak at the Iowa Real Estate Conference on both Wednesday and Thursday, and then fly home on Friday. So a good week for me to kick off some of my speaking. Looking forward to getting out in front of people and teaching them how to build relationships, solve problems, and have fun. So, hey, on behalf of Todd in Atlanta and Bill in St. Pete, I'm Sean in Columbus, Ohio, and thanks for listening to The Stare Down.